folks, ready for this? Powder folks, let's gather around. All the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the house. Power rankings. Grab that all the house. Teams tanking. A Tim lot of fun, a house. Lot of surprise. So give it up for all the guys in this league.
Yeah. Honey. Ladies and gentlemen, we've made it. We've made it. Cue the sounds. Cue the alarms. Call your mom. Cue them. Keep going. Keep going. We've made it. We've made it.
100.
Episode 100 of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It is October 30th, 2025, the day before Halloween. And yes, it is episode 100. I am your hostess with the mostest, Chris, the proud manager of Team Fairlife, here with Aaron, the owner of the Sun God Squad.
What is going on, everybody? Happy early Halloween. Stay safe out there. Hope you get a lot of good treats for those who have kids.
Amen. Get those nasty caramel little actually, I do love Nerds. I'm trying to think of like the worst Halloween candy, like Dots. Get those Dots out of here.
I can do one up. There was somebody I knew. We avoided this house like the plague. They would give out fruit.
Come on, dude. Come on. Here's an apple. I remember I saw into a house that did toothbrushes, dude. It must have been like a dentist or something. Like little toothbrushes. I'm like,
crazy.
What is...
And then you had the goats who did full candy bars.
Oh, yeah. In the rich neighborhoods, that's where I would go. The neighborhoods with the big houses that had all the money. That's mm-hmm. where Chris would go when he was trick-or-treating last year. I'm just kidding.
About to trick-or-treat tomorrow.
Episode 100, man. It's great. Thank you guys for sticking with us. I'm surprised we've been this consistent. I'm not going to lie. I feel like for guys who aren't getting paid to do this and who have jobs and other things, we have been crazy good consistent, Aaron. So... props to you.
100 episodes, man. Yeah, crazy.
Props to Tim. Props to the league, man. If the league wasn't so entertaining, this would be hard to do. But you guys make it pretty easy. Love you guys. This episode goes out to you. And it is a packed episode. Week 8 review. Excited to get into that. And to give you an update on the Qdoba Chipotle Classic. It is nuts this year, man. And then we have the first This League trade ring of the year. How about it, Aaron? How about it? About time we open that octagon back up. And
yes,
then we
sir.
Have a segment called Fantasy Lynchpins, which we will explain more when we get there, but we're going to highlight a couple players who we think will play crucial roles on their teams. And then, of course, we have the This League Guarantee, followed by a Week 9 preview for you. Drink of the week, Aaron. What do we got?
We're going nice and safe tonight, Chris. Just classic H2O water, baby. Got to stay hydrated. I'm going to the office tomorrow, so, you know, prepping early for that.
So are you giving out Jello shots to the kids tomorrow? Is that what you're saying? You're just going to get messed up on your front porch?
No, but I will say that we spent $30 on Halloween candy, and it's like 2 bags.
Yeah, man.
I mean, in this economy.
Two bags? That's going to last you 20 minutes.
It's insane. Like, we don't even have that much candy.
Yeah.
We're just like, I'm not going to break the bank to get Halloween candy, you know?
It sucks, man. It sucks. My drink this week. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
We are rocking from West Wind Brewery in Elkhart, Indiana, a Kingsman Kolsch. Aaron, you know I love a Kolsch. All Kolsches are fantastic. Although not all Kolsches are made the same. But as somebody who works in government relations for the Brewers Guild of Indiana, like the Association of Breweries, craft breweries across Indiana, I will shout out West Wind Brewery in Elkhart, Indiana. Any listeners up there, anybody going up there, just stop by West Wind Brewery, man. I kid you not, some of the best beer in Indiana. I've never had a beer there. It is delightful. I'm crushing this Kolsch, just like we're going to crush episode 100. Of the This League podcast. Are you ready, Aaron, to get into week 8?
I'm buckled in, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it. Nice! In case you haven't heard, people are calling week 8 the week of blowouts, which I think if you translate that to fantasy football, that means it was a week of explosive performances or just duds, man. I feel like there wasn't a lot in between. Your guy scored 5 or your guy scored 45, it seemed like. And I think it reflected a lot of the games that you saw.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the scores across the board were unreal. And I can kick us off with one of my takeaways if you'd like me to, Chris.
Well, yeah, let me run through the scores here real quick. As a quick reminder, we are entering the week eight was the second to last week of the Qdoba Chipotle Classic coming into week eight. It was 6-4 Chipotle, that division, looking for a three-peat, 3 years in a row of claiming dominance. But this week, man, as we run through the scores, we will start with you, Aaron, and the Sun God Squad took on Zach and Brees Lightning. It was a winner-go-home match for Brees Lightning, and he comes out with the dub, 160, the third-highest score on the week, to Aaron's 105. That's a point for Qdoba. Then we'll go over to Stretch Downing Anthony, 131 to 97. That is yet another point for the Qdoba division. Dawn Stays Hot wins 141 to 49. That's bad. I wouldn't even say that's
nasty.
49 points. We're going to get into that. But that's another point for the Qdoba division. And then your two big matchups of the week. It was your boy Team Fairlife downing Tim in an absolute shootout, 163 to 154. And Aaron, what if I told you that was the only point for Chipotle this week? Was me
barely got it.
Beating
barely.
Steven, because it has happened, folks. Wrap it up. Wrap up your bets. No more undefeateds in this league for this year. Steven Downs Hayden. Downs the Titan, 184.
Whew.
The highest point total on the week. That's what you need to beat a squad like Hayden, who only put up 109 points. But hey, you're going to have your down weeks, and he just so happened to run into the highest point scorer of the week. That's how I want to go out if I'm in Hayden's shoes. So, Aaron, like I said, this week ended 4-1 Qdoba, which means going into week 9, Qdoba is up 8-7 in the standings. Talk about a winner take all week 9 for the last week of the Qdoba Chipotle division. Looking forward to getting into that, Aaron. Go ahead and give us your first big takeaway from week 8.
Yeah, absolutely. And on my side here, the first big takeaway that I had was Mount Passmore.
Woo.
My goodness.
How about it, man?
184 point explosion. And shout out to Steven just playing the Colts. Any Colts that he had, Colts, throwing him in his lineup.
It's a pretty good winning strategy these days.
Yeah, I think Daniel Jones was on Anthony's roster there for a while, but I mean, he's having a lot of pieces come together at the right time. You've got JT just being the overall number one fantasy player this year, carrying teams on his back.
He's so good.
And just had contributions from every corner. I mean, he didn't have a single player up and down the roster that was less than 10 points in his starting lineup. So when you get that kind of production, it's impressive. And Chase Brown's officially back as well. That was a big development for Steven's team.
And he did all that without Ashton Jeanty, who was on bye this week. So a lot of things lining up for Steven. It's almost like he's maybe a piece away, but we might get into that later on in the episode. My first big takeaway of the week was, I mean, I'll cue the music, man. You heard it from Aaron, who basically, I mean, we should probably go back and confirm just to triple, double, quadruple check, but I'm pretty sure we had the lowest point scorer in this league history.
Whew.
With the Red Rocket and Clayton coming in at 49 points. Only one player scores in double digits, and that is who we all thought it would be. Jalen Noel of the Houston Texans scored 11 points. Everybody else in his lineup in single digits, and a cherry on top. Sunday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Iron Curtain, -7.
Oh, man. Dude, the Steelers' defense is just awful this year.
We will talk more about them in a later segment. But yeah, Baker Mayfield, 3 points. Quinshon Judkins went out early. Dalton Schultz, 4 points. I mean, we talked about it. I don't want to say I told you so, but we talked about it whenever we ranked the Red Rocket at number one in our preseason power rankings was his depth is horrible. So to his defense, Bucky Irving still out. Brian Thomas on bye. Brian Thomas, yeah, was on bye. Nico Collins, injured. Drake London, injured. Brock Bowers, bye. Trey McBride, bye. Like, okay, I get it. You had, your team got absolutely decimated. But still, it looked at, I think, the weakness of Clayton's roster, which has been known all along, which is his depth. You have to turn to people like Darius Slayton and Dalton Schultz, the tight end 19 on the year. What a very, very icky double-decker tight end stacker that is. So, Clayton, I think the only way is up, literally. I think it's impossible to get worse than this. But, I mean, a couple more injuries hit his team. You can see how fast I think his team can go from the real deal to just literally the worst the league has ever seen.
Yeah, not a great showing from Clayton. Hopefully he can bounce back quickly, because the way that this league is looking is it's competitive every single week, man. It's unlike any year that I've can remember when it comes to, there's not really at this stage a team that's just rises above and is unbeatable. I mean, we think Hayden is, and then all of a sudden Steven beats him by almost 80.
Yeah, I know. So, all right, Aaron, your last takeaway from week 8.
Yeah, and then I think the second takeaway that I have on my end, and I think, you know, I was going back and forth on what my second takeaway would be, so I'm going to roll with this one, Chris. I'm going to go with Don as my second takeaway.
I agree.
I think the reason that's my second takeaway is we have been telling Don for what seems like years, hey, make some trades, do something, go get people, go just be active. But this man just stayed consistent. He made trades here and there, picked up people, kept people that I otherwise would have traded, and now he's got a roster that is competitive. Mm. I mean, Chris Olave, he's leading, I think, the league still in targets, right?
Something like that, yeah. Don't have it in
front
of me.
Or he's at least top five. Mm-hmm.
I'll look it up while you go.
You got Tucker Kraft, who is an absolute dog and looks like he could be in the running for top three tight end in Dynasty. George Pickens has been on a heater. And, I mean, JSN was even on bye. JSN was on bye, and you still scored 140 points.
Yeah.
Like, that's impressive.
It is. Chris Olave, second in the league in targets at 83, behind, can you guess number one? I bet you can if you think about it, especially over the past 2 weeks.
I mean, probably JSN.
Jamar Chase.
Oh, Chase. Is JSN is third?
JSN's fourth, tied for fourth. Jamar Chase is in first by 16 targets.
Oh, I think, you know, I think I know who third is, and I wouldn't, I heard it earlier today.
Do
so
you
that's
know
the
who
it
is? I'd be surprised.
Keenan Allen.
He's also tied for fourth. Third is Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, CMC. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. That's insane. All right. But yes, no, I agree with you. I mean, Don, shoot, man. He's on a 3-game winning streak. If it wasn't for Steven's absolute explosion, he would be top of Qdoba division. But Steven's explosion took him to the top of the Qdoba division. Half the league is over 1,000 points now, and Steven joins that. Don, just outside at 988. My final takeaway from this week, I mean, I'll shout him out here. Hayden, everybody has bad weeks, and you unfortunately ran into one. Again, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Travis Etienne, bye. Jahmyr Gibbs, bye. Puka, bye. But, I mean, he saw a couple holes in the armor. Like, Bijan Robinson had by far his worst performance of the year. 4 points, mm-hmm. That probably won't happen again. Against the Chargers, too? Or, excuse me, against the Dolphins, too, which was really, really weird. Quentin Johnston, that guy stinks. Well, he doesn't stink. But a victim of, I think, the Chargers having a plethora of weapons there in L.A. 0 points, not even targeted. Jake Ferguson, I didn't even think it was possible. A goose egg, 0 points from the tight end one, which tells you how dominant he's been, because even despite last week, he's still the tight end one in all fantasy football.
CD coming back has really hurt him.
So, again, Hayden, nobody's saying you're not a top two, probably even still top one team in the league. It's just you know, you take into account the weaknesses you have. You know, do you start being a little worried about Jake Ferguson with CeeDee Lamb back? Quentin Johnston maybe isn't as reliable as you thought he would be at the beginning of the year. But again, you still have the Jahmyr Gibbs. The Puka Nacua is coming back. You'll be just fine, but I figured we would give him a couple minutes in the sunlight for being the last undefeated team to go down. That was your Week 8 review, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let me know what your biggest takeaway was. And Aaron, I am delighted to say that we are dusting off the boxing gloves, getting the ring set up. The crowd is filing in for the first This League trade ring of the year. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. Let's get into it.
The This League trade ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are unfamiliar with how this segment works, two teams enter the octagon and one team comes out victorious after a major trade. I would say the first major trade of the year went down. Hopefully it sparks more, but it did go down, ladies and gentlemen, and your combatants, or I will say, when if Tim was here, Aaron would count us down. We would both say who we think wins the trade. The winner of that goes on. Tim is not here, but he did text me who he thinks won the trade, and obviously I have my own opinion. So we will do a little bit of a quasi version here. But let's get into it. Your combatants for the day. In one corner, we have Aaron and the Sun God Squad taking on Steven and Mount Passmore, the first two teams to enter the octagon. The trade is as follows. Aaron receives a beautiful, delightful, scrumptious, my mouth is watering, man, 2027 first round pick, which is actually my 2027 first round pick, funnily enough, and a 2027 second round pick that is Steven's. So Steven gives up a first and a second. What does he get? He reunites with the man that he drafted, wide receiver AJ Brown from the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a big trade, ladies and gentlemen. I would say despite his performance this year, still a top 12, top 15 dynasty wide receiver moving. And we all know how good that 2027 draft class is going to be. That first moves. So it's a big deal. So again, Aaron receives 2027 first and 2027 second. Steven receives AJ Brown. Tim, are you? Well, he's not here. Aaron, if you would like to count me down, I'm happy to give my opinion real quick. Then I'll tell everybody how Tim picked, and then we'll hear from you on the workaround. Are you ready?
Yep, absolutely.
Count us down, baby.
Here we go. 3, 2. What do you got?
Aaron, but it's really close. And Tim also gave his vote to Aaron as well. 2-0 for Aaron. I say it's really close because let me give Steven some props here real quick. If you look at his lineup, I said it earlier, I do think he was kind of one piece away because I like to plug in the ideal pieces into a roster to determine kind of how powerful your roster is. I think that gets rid of like the buys and stuff like that. So if you go through Steven's roster right now, I mean, your running backs, Jonathan Taylor, Chase Brown, Ashton Jeanty, you love that as long as Joe Flacco stays upright. Your receivers, DK Metcalf, T. Higgins, your tight end, George Kittle, you're missing one piece in another flex spot that he's been rolling with the likes of Christian Kirk, Khalil Shakir, Jacoby Myers, you try to fit in there. Jordan Addison, I think, could be really good. It's like he was one like really solid piece away from being like he doesn't have any holes in his squad. So enter AJ Brown, who, yes, you could argue he's been bad this year. He has been poor, I will say. I'm looking for a stat line. Here we go. He has only had 20 finishes this year. Granted, there were 2 wide receiver 4 finishes. So the Eagles are just known for feeding off of drama. I think they're going to improve. I think you saw it with Saquon last week. I think they're going to start picking it up, especially as their season opens up. My favorite thing about AJ Brown here, his playoff schedule, week 14, you got the Chargers, 15, the Raiders, 16, the Commanders, and then 17, Buffalo, which could be a high-scoring game. I think that spells out pretty well for Steven, who we do think is going to make the playoffs. I give the edge to you, Aaron. You know I just love a 27 first. And I think the 2027 second is really maybe what determines it here. I'd be interested to know if you would have taken just a first straight up for A.J. Brown. But I think the second, including it being Stevens, which, you know, with that trade, I think he hopes to be good for a couple years, so that might be a late one. But that's why I give you the slight edge, Aaron, even though I think the response in the group chat was like, Steven got punked here. I don't think that is the case at all. I think A.J. Brown is still a top 12 wide receiver even this season going forward. I know that's probably crazy to some people, but I just trust the studs. I trust the production. I trust the talent. So yeah, I'm done ranting now. Aaron, I chose you by a smidge, but I'd like to know the background of this trade, how it went down, how were negotiations?
Yeah, so I was already talking with some people in the league about A.J. Brown without officially putting him on the trade block. And so, you know, I decided, hey, if I'm already talking about trading him, might as well just get it to the broader league, see what comes to me when it comes to who would be interested. And lo and behold, texted with Steven today, reached out, was like, hey, very interested in a reunion with A.J. Brown. And I actually was laughing with him because I forgot that A.J. Brown started on his team originally.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when we got talking, and he strictly wanted to trade draft capital. So we went back and forth a little bit. I was trying to get some players as well as some picks, a mix of both. And once we got down to it, I said, hey, if I'm going to move A.J. Brown, I need a 27 first, because that draft class is superior to the 26 for draft class. And the 27 first straight up was just not enough for me. I needed a little bit more to pull the trigger. And once we landed on the second and he was good with it, we sent it right over and got it done. So I think it was a good trade for honestly both of us.
I think it is too.
I mean, he's going to put A.J. Brown in that flex spot, and his lineup's going to be very formidable going forward. So I think it was great for me, and just some background, too, of why I did the trade, and I'll shut up. This week in isolation told me a lot about my team, about the other teams, and best case scenario is I make a wild card spot with my current roster with all the injuries that I've had. And I was deciding, you know what? It's just not worth it. A.J. Brown's getting up there in age. Might as well start looking at the future a little more, just because I literally have no running backs healthy right now.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, that was your first This League trade ring of the year. In case anybody would like to know Tim's opinion, his text said, quote, Aaron won trade. Is A.J. Brown even good? And there's your dynamic analysis from Tim Rader. We need an O-line minute to make up for that. Make up for that shallow stuff. So there's that for you. Congratulations to Aaron. So far, the one and only winner of the This League trade ring this year. Let's get those trades turned up, baby. Let's have this lead on to some positive momentum, and let's get some trades going. What do you say, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely. Trades are what makes dynasty.
That's right. All right, let's get into our next segment, the Fantasy Linchpins. All right, now you're asking yourself, what the heck's a fantasy linchpin? Well, Aaron and I have both selected two individual players who we think will play a crucial role in determining the fate of the squads they are on. Which players do we think will be the linchpins of their team as they go? We wanted to make sure we didn't just choose, you know, the best players on any team. You know, I think Ja'Marr Chase is really going to carry Tim. You know, we really wanted to kind of get in there and see which player is really important to their team. They may not even be the best player, but just who do we think as they go, their squad goes. Aaron, we'll let you lead off. Who is your first player and what team is he on?
My first player in this exercise is going to be George Kittle.
All right.
For Steven and Mount Passmore.
Mount Passmore getting a lot of FaceTime here.
The reasoning I chose George Kittle is because Steven has largely been without George Kittle this season. He's not been at full strength, and somehow Steven is still 5-3. I mean, that is impressive in and of itself.
He's been rocking now like Hunter Henry and Evan Ingram.
Yeah, and now you do the trade with me to get A.J. Brown in the flex and not have to play Khalil Shakir anymore, and you mix in a healthy George Kittle that at his peak could be the tight end one the rest of the way.
True.
He is going to be a dynamic piece for Steven going forward and definitely will be crucial if he's going to win a ship.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Steven next week on the power rankings. I think with the A.J. Brown trade, he put in another good performance this week. I mean, he could be upper echelon. We'll see. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. I'll dive in here. I am kind of going to cheat and choose a running back group, but it's technically one player. Anthony, Team Uninspired Youth, I'm looking at you. And my linchpin for his squad is going to be Rico Dowdle / Chuba Hubbard. And I say that because if you look at his squad, I mean, obviously you have Christian McCaffrey leading that running back room. He's not going to go anywhere. And you have the usual, you know, Stephon Diggs, Zay Flowers, Jay Jettas, Lamar Jackson back. I'm sure he loves that. But like the RB2 spot has always kind of been wishy-washy for Anthony a little bit. You have Ramondre Stevenson, who is questionable at best, I would say, to play this weekend. And then you also have a conflicting news report with Rico Dowdle with the coach speak coming out and saying, you know, this will be the week where, you know, they probably ditch the shared backfield approach in Carolina and just ride the hot hand and feet of Rico Dowdle, baby. He's been great every time he's gotten the workload. Talk about a rough first matchup to have your first huge workload at Green Bay. So we'll see how that works. But I think if the Panthers remain patient, if they choose one or the other and give Anthony a really solid selection every single week to kind of plug that gap or even like a flex spot, those are usually kind of in limbo for Anthony a little bit. But I think if the Carolina backfield can figure it out, have a consistent producer that can be as high end as Rico Dowdle has been, that could really be the player or the group of players that I think can really propel Team Uninspired Youth to a deep playoff run.
I like it a lot. I think that now that Rico Dowdle is the man, I'll be excited to see what he can do.
Here we go. All right. Your last fantasy linchpin, Aaron. Who you got?
The last one for me might be shocking and a little surprising for me to say, but it's going to be on Team Breece Lightning.
All right.
Zach's team. And we're going Travion Henderson.
Boom. Look at that. Travo.
I was taking a look at Zach's team earlier today, just reviewing the matchup that him and I had last week, and was going up and down his lineup and was like, huh, his lineup looks really good.
It does look solid.
Everybody is not on bye. And if you just get Travion Henderson to get at least RB2 value, I mean, that would do wonders for him and a potential playoff push. Rashee Rice looks like he's going to be legit the rest of the way.
So annoying. Literally it's 2 weeks, two top 10 wide receiver performances.
Yeah, and I mean, his target share is insane. Points per game has been unreal. Breece Hall came to life against me. That was a lot of fun watching Mason Taylor throw a pass to Breece Hall.
I think it was the other way around. Breece Hall threw a pass to Mason Taylor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got you. Either way, both of them scored a bunch of points on me. So I think if Travion finally gets the workload that his talent, I think, deserves, we could see Zach be a dark horse potentially.
Yeah, he's got to win. He's got to win, man. I think we, like I said, he fought off the winner go home match last week. I think he has another one this week. So, to your point, if Travion Henderson grabs opportunity by the horns like he's been given this week, he could. I mean, he could really take advantage of that. We know he's talented, put up some good fantasy points. So I like that one. My last one, you know, I have a personal rule where I try not to talk about my own team or do whatever, but I do think maybe the most obvious one is on Team Fairlife, and it is a guy. He's a rookie. It is Mr. Travis Hunter. I swear, after every single game, there's reports coming out of, you know, the Jaguars saying they got to get Travis Hunter more involved. Don't be surprised if Travis Hunter gets the wide receiver one treatment. Travis Hunter, he's going to be doing all this kind of stuff. And the stats haven't really shown that until last week. Excuse me, 2 weeks ago. He was on bye last week. But he played a season high 87% of snaps, Aaron Hunt. 14 targets, 8 catches, 1 touchdown. He finished as the wide receiver 9. And then you have a bye. Granted, they did not play well against the Rams, so you could argue maybe that's not the case. But you have a bye. That's another week, I think, to figure it out how you're going to use him. We know he's talented, and even Coach Liam Cohen came out and said if they are to be competing for the playoffs, they have to have Travis Hunter involved in that offense. I think if he can be even a top 15, top 12 wide receiver moving forward, that's kind of been the gap in my team. That's kind of been a consistent pattern, I think, in this segment of who fills the gaps the best, who can really take a team from good to great. I think Travis Hunter would do that for Team Fairlife very well.
It'd be a revelation if he would finally just pick one side of the ball to play on. I mean, he is such a dynamic receiver. I'd love to see that, and I'd love to see him be the wide receiver one here to stay in Jacksonville.
Because Brian Thomas Jr. is
nasty.
Don't
doo-doo.
We don't like him around these parts. All right. That was your fantasy linchpins. Let us know your fantasy linchpins. I'm sure every squad probably has one, but we picked a few of our favorites going forward who we think can take teams to the top. Aaron, speaking of taking to the top, that is something we have not done with our league's money this year. But you know what? It's a new week, a new challenge. And if you're a quitter now, then you'll never make it to the diamonds at the end of the tunnel. Amen.
Amen, man.
All right, let's go make some money, dang it.
The This League Guarantee. Oh, yeah.
The tight ends, Tight End University. What was last week? Why am I spacing on it?
National Tight End.
There it is. National Tight Ends Week. They let us down. Tyler Warren, over 60 yards anytime. Touchdown scorer. Sorry, Aaron. Michael Pittman Jr. took that with a one-arm bicep touchdown catch. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Crazy catch.
Feed the man. He's so good. He's so good. Ah. And then neither Dalton Kincaid, who did play, caught a touchdown against the Panthers. Really let us down. Really let us down. But it is a new week, a new challenge, and we have a brand new This League Guarantee for you. I even like teasered mine a little bit just to make sure I try to get on the board. I think Tim kind of did the same thing, and Aaron's out here just living his best life. If you if you don't bet it, if you're not first, you're last, Aaron. So we'll start with you. What is your leg of the guarantee this week?
We've just been sucking across the board this year. So I just went rogue. I went way off the beaten path. I'm just throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks. Colston Loveland.
Okay.
Anytime touchdown scorer against the Cincinnati Bengals by default because the entire Bears offense is injured. So hopefully, for the sake of our guarantee, a lot of those Bears players do not play. So they quite literally only throw to Colston Loveland the entire game. Also, the Bengals suck against the tight end position. I think they are dead last in the NFL.
I don't hate it. I bet you would like to know what the odds are to that. But at the time of recording Thursday evening, they are not up because the entire Bears offense is just hurt or just at least not practicing. I don't know if they're actually hurt.
They're just scared of Colston Loveland. He's a beast. I'm going to start him maybe.
He's probably in the locker room injuring people. That's probably what it is. He's such a beast. He's just going around breaking ankles.
Yeah, he's kind of a, Meow Some Taylor is what they say on the ballers.
Right.
Yeah, he's got that meow in him.
Yeah, probably. Just please don't break DeAndre Swift's ankles. All right, I will say for Tim, his leg of the guarantee, he is picking Josh Jacobs anytime touchdown scorer. That is only minus 150, which I think is probably the right line because the Packers are playing at home against the Panthers this week. Josh Jacobs, you know he is good. He's second in the league in touchdowns this year behind only the ridiculous pace of Jonathan Taylor. You expect the Packers to be up in that game, run heavy scheme, control the game. That means a lot of Josh Jacobs. That probably means a Josh Jacobs touchdown. I like that a lot. Aaron, what do you think?
I like it too. I mean, I feel like the three running backs you can really guarantee on a touchdown most weeks is going to be JT, Kyren, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
I feel like if you parlayed those three every week, you'd probably be a pretty rich man right now.
Probably. So there is that one. I will wrap up the This League guarantee this week. I am taking the...
Go Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts traveling to Pittsburgh this week. I'm taking over 45.5. I think the line is actually 50.5, but I went ahead and teasered it down to 45.5 just to try to get on the freaking board, man. -204, the Indianapolis Colts. Aaron, the Indianapolis Colts have the highest points per game in the NFL at 33.8.
Go Colts. What in the world?
What a sentence, dude. It's October. Like, the season's like almost halfway done. Like, this is for real.
They're 7-1. Best record in the NFL.
This is crazy. I feel like we've done a really good job of not waxing poetical on this podcast, just talking about the Colts. I love Shane Steichen, dude. I've seen that man smile more this year than the past 3 years combined. You look at Shane Steichen on the sideline, he's smiling. He's grinning.
He's winning. Yeah, I can't believe will do that to you.
I didn't know he could smile. Yeah, he's
Anthony
cheesing.
Richardson almost made us think that he wasn't a good coach.
I know. I know. Goodness, he's bad. All right. Anyway, Colts have the highest points per game. Steelers are in the bottom half, but hey, give them some grace. If you look at who they've played over the course of the season, they've played Cleveland, Green Bay last week, Minnesota, New England in that new Mike Vrabel defense, and the Seattle Seahawks, all defenses that you don't like to play. The last time the Steelers played a soft defense was 2 weeks ago when they played the Bengals and they scored 31 points. I do think the Steelers have something to prove, so I do think their offense will step up. But Aaron, their defense is literally so bad that I don't think they're capable of stepping up. They are giving up the third worst total yards allowed in a game per game in the NFL. So I do think, again, the Steelers, they're going to come out, try to prove a point. I do think they can move the ball against this Colts offense, especially if Jonathan Taylor has three touchdowns in the first quarter against this defense, which might be the case. I think points are going to be scored. Over 45.5 is where I'm going.
I like it a lot. I think that line could very easily hit in the first half based off how the Colts play. I mean, who's going to stop them now, you know?
That's very true. That's very true. Well, run it through for you one more time. Josh Jacobs, anytime touchdown against the Panthers. We are doing the Colts versus the Steelers over 45.5. And then Aaron out on the poop deck with Colston Loveland, anytime touchdown score. Don't even have the odds for that. Don't even have the odds for that. But I would guess, what, plus 400, plus 350 maybe, to score
maybe,
his first
maybe more,
NFL
honestly,
career touchdown?
We might be looking at plus 700,
800. Goodness gracious. Well, when the odds do come out, we'll be sure to share it with you all so you all can get on the guarantee. Aaron, I'm looking at you. You know what? You say the line. Say you we guarantee it.
Oh, we absolutely guarantee it.
All right. What do you say we get into the week 9 preview?
Let's go.
Nice!
We are saying welcome back to the Arizona Cardinals, Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, LA Raiders, Los Angeles Rams, and the Seattle Seahawks. Six teams on bye at once is a disgrace.
Gross.
But we do welcome, or sorry, do we have to say goodbye to the Cleveland Browns, who need it? The New York Jets, who need it? The Philadelphia Eagles, who need it? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who really need it? You got four teams there with injured superstars that I think the byes are probably hitting at a very good time. Before we jump into week 9, a quick reminder, the final week of the Qdoba Chipotle Classic. Qdoba trying to pull off the unthinkable. They're trying to end the Qdoba two-year reign. They have a one-game lead heading into the final week. Chipotle, stand up, man. Stand up. Got a fight here. And the first matchup is one I'm not feeling very great about on behalf of Chipotle. I'm sorry, Aaron.
I'm not feeling good about it either.
We have Aaron in the Sun God Squad. Coming into this one at 2-6, taking on his trade partner, his best buddy, maybe, Steven and Mount Passmore as it currently stands. Sleeper giving Steven a 59% chance of victory. Lucky for Aaron, AJ Brown is on bye this week, or else we could have a juicy revenge game narrative here. But Aaron 2-6, Steven 5-3. I think this could potentially be a statement week for Steven here. You know, you want to prove you're the best. You just sold some future assets to try to go for it this year. I think this is a big week for him as we go into this one. And he faces an Aaron team that, listen, we know is good. The internets are obsessed with Aaron's team in the Sun God squad. Remember, number 2 in the power rankings last week, according to the interwebs. And we have an interesting looking lineup, I think. Aaron welcomes back Amon-Ra St. Brown from bye this week. I'm sure you missed him last week. And of course, he's pairing that with Dak Prescott at home against Arizona on Monday Night Football. You really got to like that. Jaylen Warren and Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. Bill Kroski Merritt makes his return to Aaron's lineup after a timeout last week. We already mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ladd McConkey. Colston Loveland putting his money where his mouth is in that tight end position.
He's out there, baby.
And don't look now, but we got a whopper. Double-decker tight end stacker because Kyle Pitts also gets the go out this week at New England. And the last flex spot goes to Rome Odunze. If you look at Aaron's bench, not a lot of options I think anybody would consider. Emeka Igbuka. Igbigbo on bye this week. So that's probably the biggest weapon that is missing from Aaron's lineup. Solid matchups, nothing you love. And I don't really think, but maybe outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's not one person in there that's like, oh, you could really blow up and have a week. So how is Steven looking? How are we feeling about your opponent this week, Aaron?
Well, we're feeling great about Steven. I mean,
we're feeling awesome.
Yeah, we got to like Jonathan Taylor.
I heard he's pretty good. I heard he's pretty good. Number one player in fantasy football.
I'd say he's pretty solid. And then you got the Bengals duo right there of Chase Brown and T. Higgins against Chicago. DK Metcalf at home against Indy. He's just been steady Eddie this year.
Mm-hmm.
Has a very safe floor. Justin Herbert, I mean, he's capable of going off pretty much any week. And he's got Madison Beer backing him. Yeah. So you got to love that.
Giving and that man George some Kittle, energy.
I talked about him earlier, man. George Kittle, that guy is electric. I could see him having a classic 30-40-point game because he's playing me. And everybody goes off against me. So
second highest points against behind your boy. Pound it. Come on. Give me a pound through the camera, Aaron. Come on.
Yeah, pound. There we nice. Go. Up. That and then the now we're doing the stupid max points for who gets first pick. So that sucks. We'll have to see how that transpires. About that.
Wow, yeah.
And then Ashton Jeanty against Jacksonville in the flex too. So up and down the lineup, man. I think he's got a lot of really good matchups, very strong, and he will probably crush me.
I am picking Steven here as well. I mentioned you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. That kind of makes you tremble a little bit. But if you look at Steven's team, like Jonathan Taylor is kind of scary. If Joe Flacco plays, Chase Brown, kind of scary. George Kittle, kind of scary. And you know who would look really good in his lineup? A.J. Brown, if he wasn't on bye. Because again,
that was actually part of it where I knew I wasn't going to have to play against him. So I was like, okay.
4D chess, ooh.
You know what? Whatever. I'll do the trade.
Fine. All right. I'm picking Steven as well. We will try to get Tim's pick'ems loaded into the dock to give you guys an update. But that is a clean sweep for Steven there. We expect him to move to 6-3 and to put another point on for Qdoba. We don't like that.
Now, Chris, is it a win or go home for me, though?
Oh, I forgot to freaking sound the alarm. Absolutely it is. Sorry. I'm not even going to keep you in suspense.
I've never had a winner go home before. This is my first one. My virginity is gone.
There you go. Sound the alarm. Aaron loses. He will fall to 2-7. That's going to be tough to come back from.
What my season just could have looked so differently if injuries didn't plague me, but that's how it goes sometimes.
That is how it goes sometimes. Let's move on to the next matchup. It is Stretch and Walker. I hardly know her. On a 2-game winning streak is Kyle Stretch. Coming into this one, taking on Clayton and the Red Rocket, coming off a whopping monstrous 49-point performance from last week. Sleeper giving Stretch a 59% chance of victory this week. Again, Stretch looking to go to 5-4. Man, if Clayton loses, 3-6 for the guy that was supposed to, you know, be number one in the power rankings. That's a tough look. So this is a big week, I would say, for both teams. We will start with Stretch's roster here. Are you bought in on Drake May? Are you in?
I'm definitely in.
Really? Not even from like a fantasy perspective, just from like a good NFL quarterback perspective.
Oh, I absolutely am. And did you see the video of him going to a pediatric children's hospital dressed up as Dragonite?
No.
My guy galloped down the stairs as the Pokemon Dragonite.
Man, that's aura. That's aura right there. Gosh.
For the kids. How can you hate on that?
I think I was a little late to the party, but like I'm in now too. And he's only 23 and Stretch has him, which is sad.
Anyway, that's annoying. It's very annoying.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, he's probably an every week auto start. I mean, if you're not going to play Kyler Murray at Dallas, when are you going to play him? You know? So I think Drake May looking to be an auto start for Stretch moving forward. Josh Jacobs, Ken Walker, ho-hum in the running back positions. Davante Adams, Cortland Sutton, ho-hum in the wide receiver positions. Tyler Warren, tight end 4 of the year. Also only 23 years old. God dang it, Stretch. Zach Charbonnet, David Montgomery in the flexes. If you look at Kyle's bench, Dallas Goedert on bye, Garrett Wilson on bye, Devontae Smith on bye, Mike Evans on bye, all of those people maybe outside of the Eagles are probably desperately in need of those buys. If you look at the start-sit decisions, I really don't think there's anything in there. You have Mark Andrews currently with 2 touchdowns on your bench on Thursday Night Football, so you don't love to see that. But I would love if there was an option to pivot away from Zach Charbonnet here so you don't start both him and Ken Walker in this matchup, but I don't know if there's an option. I mean, Samaje Perine, one of the young wide receivers in Tennessee. Again, I will say it. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I think Stretch losing James Conner hurt a lot more than anybody thought it would. And I think you're seeing it right now with a lineup that includes both Seattle running backs. Don't love that, but he's playing a guy that scored 49 points last week, Aaron. How's he looking this week? Are we going to get over 49?
I think he's going to get over 49.
All right. I mean,
I do think
don't count him out.
That is attainable. You like some pieces on Clayton's lineup as we look up and down it. Jordan Love has been really coming on as of late. He balled out against the Steelers.
He sure did.
I think was the QB1 last week, if I am remembering correctly.
He was.
So, gotta love that. And he's just going to stick in the flames with Jordan Love. And then you like that Nico Collins is seemingly healthy. I think he was upgraded to a full participant today. So it looks like the concussion might be past him. Drake London might possibly get him back this week. That would be huge for the vibes and just for Clayton to not, you know, swan dive off the Salesforce Tower again. you got the double-decker. Wow.
Double-decker, tight end stacker.
Yeah, the double-decker. Whopper. Tight end stacker. The original.
Yeah, the OG, man.
That trick.
The Big Mac.
Yep, with Trey McBride, Brock Bowers. Welcome back.
Love that.
It's been a while since we've seen him, so hopefully they both can ball out in plus matchups. And you maybe also get Brian Thomas back, which he's also questionable. So, you know, I know you're a Travis Hunter apologist because you have him on your team, but Brian Thomas does have some talent, and I do think it's the right play if he's able to play.
Right. Oh,
but
yeah.
But man, we've said it for years. Look at the running backs this week.
Oh, man.
It's depressing.
I'll give you a peek behind the curtains. Clayton's starting Bashaul Tuten and Tyler Algier. I have Nick Chubb for a third. pending for Clayton right now. I've sent him videos. I've sent Jude. Just he will start for you this week. Woody Marks is questionable. Just give me a third round pick. That's all it takes. Anyway, yeah. I keep going. That's just my thing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's getting volume, right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's better than nothing.
Do you want Nick Chubb for a third round pick, Aaron?
Oh man,
come on.
I'd think about it. I'd probably think about it. I think I probably would think about it, honestly.
Yeah.
He probably would start over Ja'Cory Kroski Booty. Guy sucks.
Give me that booty. I want the booty. Nice.
But you got Bucky Irving and Quinshon Judkins both on bye and hurt. So,
yes.
Tough pill to swallow there.
Yep. Who you got in this game, Aaron?
Yeah. I unfortunately think that Clayton is going to drop another game, and I think Stretch is going to win this one. There's just too many solid floor players on Stretch's side that you can really rely on, and he just has health on his side at this point. So I'm going to take Stretch, and I don't think it'll be particularly close.
Yeah, I'm taking Stretch as well. I think you put it perfectly about the floor plays. And even looking at Clayton's roster, I'm like, hey, if Nico Collins has a big game, you know, maybe. But then you see he's at home against Denver and Pat Surtain. So it's like,
although Pat Surtain will be out of this game. He got injured.
Well, that's why we have two of us, Aaron. Heck yeah, McMahon. All right, well, Nico Collins.
So that will help Nico a little bit.
Have yourself a game, young man. But I'm still taking Stretch here. I'm also a little concerned about Brock Bowers' first game back. Even when he was playing earlier in the year, he wasn't fantastic. I mean, he's still a auto start, a tight end. Nobody's saying he's not. But, you know, again, we mentioned it the other day. If you don't have Trey McBride at 1-2, 2-3, you know, I think the strength of Clayton's roster really decreases if they're not just absolute studs at the position. So we are both taking Stretch there in that matchup. And we'll move on to the next one. I considered plopping this one down at Game of the Week, honestly. I really considered it. But I do think the one we have down there is probably more important for the teams, per se. But we have the new hotness against the Titan. That's what I'm calling this one. It is Dawn and Njigba's in Paris 3 win streak. Dawn and Njigba's in Paris taking on the man coming off his first loss of the year, Hayden, and Tua Infinity and Bijan coming into this one at 7-1. As it currently stands, Sleeper giving Hayden a 64% chance of victory. In the middle of Thursday Night Football, Derrick Henry with 30 yards and Jaylen Waddle with 4 catches for 61 yards. So still got a long way to go in that ball game, but not any performances that if you're Don, you're scared of or anything like that. So again, 64% chance for Hayden as it currently stands. This is a big one, Aaron. Does Don have a shot? Does he have a shot?
I think he absolutely has a shot, and I'll tell you why. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is back.
He's so good. Oh,
I know Ja'Marr Chase is phenomenal. There's not a wide receiver in Dynasty that I'd rather have right now than Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Wow.
Do you know what his percentage target share is on the season?
Oh, I heard it. Isn't it like 34?
It is, I think, 38%.
Oh, my God.
That's almost insane. 40% of all the passes that the Seahawks throw are going in the direction of JSN. He is the heartbeat of the Seahawks passing game, and that's not going to stop anytime soon. Sam Darnold just throws him the ball left and right. I think he's going to go easily for another 20, 25. Wouldn't be surprised if he went over 30. You got Chris Olave. He's just going to keep getting targets fed to him. And with Tyler Shuck, I think that's going to also be really solid there.
Chris Olave was almost my linchpin player.
Yeah.
All because of Tyler Shuck. Like, if Tyler Shuck is an improvement or even status quo of Spencer Rattler, and Chris Olave can somehow keep a wide receiver 9 pace, like, I almost chose him as my linchpin of, like, if as Chris Olave goes and Njigba's in Paris goes, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Tucker Kraft, that dude is phenomenal.
Goodness gracious.
George Pickens, I think, could eat on Monday Night Football against the lowly Arizona Cardinals. They suck. And then you get Brock Purdy potentially back for Don. I think that's a big development.
Because it is, yeah.
Don's not really had the greatest of QB play throughout the season. So if you get Brock Purdy to come in there and get you at least 20, that's going to do you wonders. And then I don't hate his running backs either. They're not sexy, but they're probably not going to bust completely either.
The least sexy of the whole league. Doesn't mean they're bad, but they're kind of ugly, man.
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins, though, he's getting it done.
Yeah.
What do you think his rank is on the year?
Man, I feel like he hasn't busted at all. I bet he's like an RB like 11.
RB 15.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, that's Don's side. Yeah, a lot of solid players there. No really bye week woes here for Don, which is kind of nice. So I think his squad, as Aaron just read it, might be the strongest he's got. So that's not great news for Hayden. Coming off of a loss. But I think if you look at his roster the way it is, you still got to give him the edge. Of course, his leader, the number one quarterback in Dynasty football. Patrick Mahomes at Buffalo. That game could end 35-40. I'm so excited to play Josh Allen on all my bills in this game. I think it's going to be a classic. 425. They talk about the defenses. When you have Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen just dueling back there, I really don't think it matters. I think they're just going to light up that stadium. So I'm sure Hayden is excited to watch that game as well. Derrick Henry, if he gets a little more involved in the second half, you'll probably prefer that. Jahmyr Gibbs returns from bye. Puka Nacua returns from bye and from injury. He was a full practice on Thursday, so it looks like he is good to go. Aaron, Puka Nacua has missed a week and had a bye, and he's still the wide receiver 5 on the year. There's not many other receivers you feel more confident playing in right now than Puka Nacua. Jalen Waddle doing decent on Thursday Night Football right now. Jake Ferguson surely can rebound from a 1-target, 0-catch performance. Again, at home at Arizona, you like that matchup. And then Kamani Vidal and Bijan Robinson round out his flex spots. Kamani Vidal, the past 3 weeks, RB9, RB27, RB8. He was an afterthought on the waiver wire a couple weeks ago. Imagine if Clayton had Kamani Vidal. Imagine if Don had Kamani Vidal.
I had him at one point last year.
Come on, guys.
He went for $0 fab to Hayden, and Hayden, I guess, has the magic touch, man.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the second straight week he's starting him at Tennessee. I think he's going to eat. You love that for Hayden. Oh, you look at the bench. You got Quentin Johnson and Deebo Samuel down there for Hayden. You also have Travis Etienne at the Raiders, and you also have R.J. Harvey, who some say had a breakout last week. He was the RB6 in all football last week. He's on the bench, so Hayden has a little bit of an embarrassment of riches right now. If you're Hayden, do you switch your roster at all right now with any of those guys on the bench, or are you riding with the way he has it?
I'd be tempted to, but I don't think I would, honestly. When you look at ETN, he's been slipping as of late. RJ Harvey didn't have crazy production. He just got into the end zone a few times. I don't know if that's going to happen week to week. And I am curious, though, Quentin Johnston, he had the dud last week. He's been injured, fully healthy. I'd be tempted to put him right back in, but I can understand putting Vidal in that flex spot instead just because of the
same here.
Volume and knowing you're going to get those touches.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, he has a lot of good pieces, but I just think his roster, the starting lineup anyway, there's nobody you could bench, which I think is why he's 7-1. He's got the depth. He's got the studs and the positions you need. So, Aaron, I'll throw it over to you, man. Who you taking this week, man? This is a good one. I like this one.
This is a good one. Man.
I want to take Don, but I think I have to take Hayden. Kamani Vidal at Tennessee, I think, is a crush top 10 running back performance this week.
Don, I'm riding with you, brother.
Woo! Here we go.
I am taking Don because I think that if you look at from George Pickens to Chris Olave, I think all four of those guys are going to go nuclear this week.
You're that big on Chris Olave, huh? With Tyler Shuck?
I think so.
Really? Do you just think he's going to come in and just make the whole offense better? Or is he just going to hyper-target Chris Olave, you think?
Oh, no, exactly that. It's the Mac Jones effect with Brian Thomas last year. You come in, you have no idea where to throw the ball, so you just throw it to your best player.
Are you sure it's not going to be, you know, the Tyler Shuck, Devon Vele connection?
No way. No way.
When's the last time you heard that name?
It's been a minute, man. Been a minute. So, yeah, I think he's going to be solid this week. I bet he gets at least 15.
All right. Well, that's one for Don, one for Hayden. Man, who would have thought? Week 9, Hayden and Don just battle of two really solid teams, man. You love to see it. You love to see it. Let's move on to our next matchup. He fought it back last week, but that doesn't mean that you're out of it, Mr. Welch. It is another Chipotle Qdoba Classic matchup representing the Chipotle division. It is your boy, Team Fairlife, coming into this one at 3-5, taking on Zach and Brees Lightning at 2-6. Zach coming off the third highest point total of the week last week. Sleeper currently has it as Team Fairlife, your boy, with a 60% chance of victory to Zach's 40. Shoot, you could argue this is a winner go home for me too. If I can't beat Zach and all of a sudden I have to turn around and play Hayden next week, whoa! You know, I don't think I'm quite there on the button. You guys see how other results go, but one could argue this is a winner go home for me as well. Aaron, we'll start with you. Let's put me out of my misery, run through my lineup.
Well, we got the usual stalwarts. Josh Allen, the Stallion. Putting him right back into the lineup where he deserves to be. A marquee matchup in the 4 o'clock slate on Sunday against Kansas City.
Feed me.
You guys have a bunch of players in that game. So you will be for sure locked in to that game specifically. You had Devon Achan, who's going right now against the Ravens, putting up pretty solid numbers. It's not even 2 minutes into the third quarter and almost has 16 points there for you. So you got to love that.
With no touchdowns. He's just good.
He is a cheat code. He really is. He is just, you know, he's going to get at least 10 points because of that volume through the passing game.
Yes, sir.
Travis Hunter, to your point, are they going to get him involved?
Come on, baby. Oh, I want him to be good so bad.
Is this the game where he just absolutely goes nuclear? We'll see. We will definitely see. Michael Pittman, going to be a tougher test on the road. I understand that the Steelers' defense has been horrible, but playing in Pittsburgh is never an easy task. Probably going to be cold. So,
hey, Aaron, we'll see. Do you know what ranking Michael Pittman is on the year?
I bet he's wide receiver 9.
Wide receiver 6, baby!
Wide receiver 6.
Oh, feed families. Yeah. He is the reason why Team Fairlife has been able to make it through this tough stretch. The leader of the locker room, Team Fairlife, just leading the freaking team.
Man, I did not know that. That's crazy. And then you go down to your flex spots. You got to love Kyren against the Saints. They are porous everywhere, it seems. And James Cook, who just ran for over 200 yards last week. A tougher test against the Chiefs. They usually shut down opposing running backs and don't let them have a lot of room to run. So we'll see where that goes. And then, of course, the 49ers defense. So up and down the lineup, you got some strong plays. There are a couple question marks. DeAndre Swift, questionable right now. You may have to pivot to someone else on the bench, but you have some options if that was the case. And I'm just curious, rest of season, you riding with Dalton Kincaid? How are we feeling at the tight end position?
Man, it's just nasty. Like 8 of the 10 teams in the league have to deal with. It's just nasty. every
week. Well, I got a few of them if you want to talk.
It's whenever he played, last week was the first game back from the injury, but whenever he played before that, points per game, he was the tight end two in football. So I guess I'll keep riding with that, you know? But we'll see. I think he's kind of my best option right now because Hawk might be done. He might be done.
No. Yeah, I think he's cooked.
Yeah, he might be. Let's run through Zach's lineup real quick. Off the rip, we are going with Jared Goff at home against the Vikings over Jaden Daniels at home against Seattle. That could alter. I think like Zach is in Gibraltar right now on a dinghy or something. I don't know where he's at where he doesn't have internet. But
I think he's on a cruise. Is he out of the country?
I think he's in the Caribbean, I think.
Okay.
Pretty
okay.
sure. So this could be subject to change. We will see. But you're rocking Travion Henderson, who was Aaron's linchpin player. You got to think if Zach wins this week, it will probably be because of a Travion Henderson breakout performance. That's probably what he has his fingers crossed on there. Like I mentioned, Javonte Williams just chugging along at the RB5, scoring touchdowns. Love to see him doing well in Dallas. Rashi Rice and Tech McMillan. Tech McMillan currently the wide receiver 18, the most unsexy wide receiver 18 you'll see. But when you have Bryce Young in that Carolina offense, shoot, you'll probably take wide receiver 18, man. Juwan Johnson in the tight end spot. And then we have Wandale Robinson and Marvin Harrison Jr. wrapping out that flex spots. If you look at his bench, we are missing Breece Hall, Mason Taylor, and David Njoku this week. You could flirt with Josh Downs in a game that has a really high over-under. We've already mentioned it, the Colts and the Steelers. But other than that, you're probably sticking with that. I think the Jared Goff, Jaden Daniels decision will be an interesting one, depending on where he goes.
Just was looking at that.
Yep. But with that being said, Aaron, I'm backing myself here. Rashi Rice scares the living poop out of me. But I think we'll be okay. I believe in the rest of my squad to put up a respectable point total and start turning the curve and start stringing some wins together. Who you got here?
Chris, I hate to break it to you.
Aaron.
Zach is going to beat you this week.
Wow. Wow.
And you know why he's going to beat you?
Why?
Because of Travion Henderson.
Yo, you're buying in, huh?
Travion Henderson will have over 100 all-purpose yards this week and a touchdown.
Called it here. First,
he's never had
here.
The backfield to himself the whole season, and he is probably pretty pissed off with how it's gone so far. He is going to eat the Falcons.
Do you think I can give Ramondre Stevenson my toe? Please play. Please play, Ramondre.
And then I like Javonte Williams on Monday night. I like Rashi Rice to just keep eating. I even like his flexes, like Marvin Harrison against the Dallas Cowboys defense. Oh, that is delicious.
Stop talking to me.
And Wandale Robinson, he'll just PPR his way to 15, 20 points. So if Juwan Johnson just falls into the end zone, you're going to be in trouble.
I agree. It's probably going to be a lot closer than I like to think. We keep saying it every week, but when it comes to 10th in the power ranking, Zach is probably the best 10th power ranking team we've ever had. So shout out to Zach. No walkovers this week. We have one final game, which makes that our game of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And it's between two teams that feel like they probably need W's this week. Tim, coming off of a heartbreaker last week, coming into this one at 4-4, taking on Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth, coming into this one at 5-3 as it currently stands. Sleeper giving Anthony a 72% chance of victory. And that is likely because Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jacksoning all over the Miami Dolphins right now. 8 minutes into the third quarter, already has three TDs. He's looking like he's going to put up a fantastic performance. And Zay Flowers, respectable 4 catch, 25 yards. You expect that to go up by the end of the game. On the other side, Tim currently has Tua, who has 15 completions and 152 yards. Probably went there to try and relieve any potential Joe Flacco. Jake Browning, is that the quarterback backup for Cincinnati? Jake Browning, is it Jake?
Jake Browning, yeah.
Jake Browning, that's right. probably trying to avoid that potential conundrum. Aaron, he's in a hole already. Does Tim have an opportunity to dig himself out of this?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? And by doing that, in order to do that, we need to look up and down the lineup. Tua Tagovailoa is who he is starting this week because of Jalen Hurts on bye not performing super well. Mm. He has about 6 points right now. Third quarter is about halfway over. So interesting development to see if he can turn it around and maybe get to at least 20 points for Tim. I think he's going to need that, especially with how Lamar is performing so far. You start Tyrone Tracy and Aaron Jones.
Tyrone Tracy getting the start.
That's fine, I think. I think they're going to probably be more floor plays than ceiling guys. Aaron Jones has been getting more of the volume, made Jordan Mason pretty irrelevant last week. So we'll see if that trend continues. And then you got Jamar Chase and Kayshon Boutte. I want the booty.
Boutte.
And I mean, to his credit, Booty's getting it done.
Kayshon Boutte was also almost one of my linchpin players.
I mean, the last 3 weeks, he has had no less than 13.5 fantasy points. So he's been pretty consistent. Gadsden's been a revelation at tight end, and we got another double-decker tight end stacker.
It's becoming just the it's becoming the new hotness, man.
It became a fad, and now it's a trend, man.
The new hotness.
Sam Laporta, what tight end number is he on the year? Not great, but he does have games where he shows out and is capable of getting you 20-25.
And he still has a great mustache.
Absolutely. And then, of course, who can forget CeeDee Lamb? Mm. That is going to be a fun time on Monday Night Football.
That is why Tim still has a chance. If you have a roster that has Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb in it, you can be down 80 with those two left and still have a shot.
Yep. 100%.
All right. Well, on Tim's side, he will be missing Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts this week, and he's hoping probably Chris Godwin can utilize that bye week to get back healthy. What the heck happened to him, by the way? He came back for two games, 81% of snaps, 77% of snaps, and then he's just disappeared the last 3 weeks. Did he re-aggravate it? Am I missing something? Was it a new injury?
I think it's a new injury. Yeah.
God dang it, primetime. Break
out
of it. He's
29. I think his body's just starting to
break out of it. The NFL is better with you in it, Chris. Come on, man. All right. Let's look at Anthony's side here. We already mentioned Lamar Jackson doing his thing. Christian McCaffrey, Jay Jettas, and Travis Kelce round out his four horsemen. They're all there, beautiful, majestic, ready to hopefully lead Anthony to another dub. Man, how big is this Ramondre Stevenson situation, man? On one hand, if Ramondre's out, we're thinking Zach has a pretty decent shot of taking me down this week. But if somehow he plays, somehow he comes back and gets the full workload versus Atlanta, you don't love that matchup. But I do think he may be the best option for Anthony when you look at the rest of his lineup. Zay Flowers,
I disagree, but keep going.
Yeah. And then Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen right now in his flex spots. If you look at his bench, I think I know where you're probably going here. How do you feel right now if you're the Rico Dowdle manager? Do you take the coach at his words and play him at Green Bay in Lambeau Field over, you know, say Ramondre Stevenson's healthy or heck, even Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen? Like, are you forcing Rico Dowdle into your lineup this week?
I am. Over Ramondre Stevenson? We know who he is. He's going to be trotting along, probably going to fumble here and there.
A fumbling bum who's been getting 13 like carries, 18 carries, 14 carries, but a fumbling bum.
Fall into the end zone, Eddie Lacy looking ass. I don't think there's much juice there to squeeze. Rico Dowdle, though, nice. That man is playing for his life. He wants a contract. Mm. He wants people to know that they have been sleeping on him for years. He just ran for 1,000 yards last year. Nobody gave a crap about that. He is running with a purpose, and if you give him all of the work, he, I think, will come through. Even in a tough matchup at Green Bay, I'd go Rico. That's just me, though.
Rico over Ramondre, or are you trying to bench Keenan or Stephon in that instance?
Oh, no. Rico over Ramondre. Yep.
All right. He's also got Bam Knight down there, which, you know, at Dallas, anybody can freaking run on Dallas. You know, you could maybe consider that as well if you're feeling frisky. I wouldn't hate that if you're Anthony. Actually, I probably wouldn't hate that if you wanted to start him over Diggs, maybe? I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think Anthony's got some decisions to make this week. Rashad White on bye would probably be the only notable guy for Anthony there that he would probably usually have in his starting lineup. Game of the week, Aaron. We just mentioned it. I think you got Mr. Consistent and Anthony over here taking on Boom Bust Tim. Who you got?
Oh, this one's going to be another close one, I think. I'm going to go Anthony, though.
You are taking Anthony this week. That Lamar Jackson Tua thing is tough to ignore, man. Especially if Tua doesn't get going.
It is. Yeah. It's not great.
Man. Yeah, I think Aaron Jones is really nasty for Tim, too. I literally just sent him Nick Chubb for a third because I'd probably start Nick Chubb over Aaron Jones this week. So maybe he'll take it. I don't know. Who wants a third? Who wants Nick Chubb? All I need is a third. Anyway, I think I am going to go with Anthony as well. Christian McCaffrey, great matchup. Justin Jefferson, great matchup. Keenan Allen, great matchup. I think he's got the guys to put up the floor that you need to kind of withstand the pop that you're going to get from CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase, I think. Especially if Joe Flacco is out or limited, then I think it's an easy Anthony here. So we're both rolling with Anthony. We expect him to move to 6-3, Tim to fall to 4-5. I don't think the Qdoba Chipotle Classic has ever entered the final week before with all to play for. But here we are. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm like loyal to like my college conference, you know, like I'm feeling like Chipotle is like Big Ten right now, Qdoba's SEC, and we're just battling right now. Like, we need to show that we are the better quick service Mexican restaurant. Come on, Chipotle. We got this. Button up, lockdown. Let's bring home the shit, baby. Anything to add before we sign out of week 9 here, Aaron?
No, I think it was said beautifully. Come on, Qdoba Division.
Let's go. Come on, baby. As always, listen, episode 100, man. 100 episodes we've done this. Think about our first episode, man. It was echoey. We were in the tack house living room, all sitting like 50 feet from apart from each other because
had all those panels that we bought.
We had the noise proof panels up because we thought that was the problem and not our $15 USB microphones were the problem, you know?
Came a long way, man.
I know. And now we got professional mics and mixers, and our, I would say our virtual set has come a long way as well, man. It's just, we even got some inside jokes, some nice like podcast inside jokes, you know, with the trade ring and the Colts and all that kind of stuff, man. I'm just waxing poetical. I love doing this pod. I love hearing feedback on the pod. Appreciate you guys listening. As always, if you can comment, leave a good rating, and as always, just annihilate, crush that like button 100 times for the vibes.
Or just simply click it.
Or you can.
That's all I got to do.
Or you can just click it. Aaron, what are you being for Halloween?
I am going to be Fred from Scooby-Doo.
I like it. I think I'm going to go with Old Reliable, and I'm just going to be Jake from State Farm.
All right.
Easiest one I got, baby.
Not the overalls this year, huh?
No overalls and cowboy hat this week. That was a big party pleaser, though. All right, folks. I'm Chris, signing off. Episode for the 100th time. Wow, that's crazy to say. Love you guys. Thanks for riding with us.
Thanks for 100 episodes. Happy Halloween. Go on, get through.
where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included.